to attend anywhere besides the detox. But let's see, my sobriety date is November 5th of 2009, and this is my home group. And I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. And let's see, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born in Staten Island, New York, to a loving family. My parents are both in the program. They've been sober for 25 years. Just recently, last month, they celebrated 25 years. And most of my family is alcoholic. It's pretty crazy. There's like one of my aunts that isn't. She'll like have a beer once a year. It's kind of insane. But I don't understand it. We were actually just talking about it recently with her. But yeah, I think it's in my blood. I was kind of destined to be an alcoholic. When I was little, my parents always told me that if I ever drank, I'd probably be alcoholic. I had the isms from a young age. I had no idea what the hell that was when they first told me, but they kept telling me I had isms, and I would stay up all night, and I would drink a bunch of coffee. Like, my grandma used to make me coffee milk, and so I'd, like, drink my coffee milk. It was, like, a little bit of coffee and mostly milk, but, and I'd act all, like, goofy. Like, I pretended I was drunk when I was little, and I don't know, I thought it was funny. But I never wanted to go to bed when they told me to go to bed. I didn't like to hear the word no. Anything, you know, with all my friends, it was like, I wanted to play Barbies, we're going to play Barbies. My cousins actually locked me in my closet of my room because I used to throw such a fit if they didn't do what I want them to. Like, they were so sick of getting in trouble because of me that they locked me in the closet and played without me. And my aunt found me, like, I don't even know how long after. But I didn't even remember that, surprisingly enough. I was told that when I made an amends. But fast forward a little bit. We moved here to, well, we moved to Clearwater when I was 11. I was going into sixth grade, and I was pretty upset about it. Like, I was excited, but I was upset at the same time because I was finally going to go to, it was IS 34, it was the middle school over there. Junior high, but and I was finally going to get to go to school with my older cousins, and I was like really excited about that because I hadn't before, and they all went to school together, and but I wasn't going to get to do that since I moved to Florida. My cousin that lived here already was going into high school when I was coming into middle school, so I was pretty pissed. I was all alone, so I was asking her to show me in the yearbook, like, you know, people that I should talk to that might be my friends when I got there, because I was so scared of being alone, and I was scared of people judging me, and I didn't realize it. I had self-centered fear like crazy at a really young age. And people made fun of my accent. They made fun of my clothes. They made fun of my favorite skirt. And I threw it out when I got home, and I told my mom I needed to have, you know, a whole new wardrobe because I had to fit in here. And I started talking like Floridians did, even though I hated it. I was like, you guys don't know how to, what's Saul, you know? Like, what the fuck is, but anyway. So I changed everything about myself just so that you'd like me, you know, and that was at 11 years old. By the time I got into eighth grade, I was a good student. I was always on honor roll. If I got a C, I was grounded. It was like, my parents were pretty strict when I was little. And I was pretty good, though. I didn't like to hear no, but I tried to do my best, you know. But then I started getting C's on my report cards in eighth grade, and for that whole summer, I was grounded. Then when I went into high school, I was in like all AP and honors classes, except for like my chorus and things like that, musical theater. And so I got, I think it was history, because I can't stand history. I got a C on that, and I was grounded again. It ended up, I was grounded for like 8 months. And I started hanging out with this group of people that weren't my normal crowd. I was sick of trying to please everybody, I think is what it really was. And so I started seeking out other people, and they were doing other things. Like, they started skipping school, and they were smoking cigarettes, and they were smoking weed, they were drinking, they were doing whatever. And I remember specifically in ninth grade, I was with this girl, Natalie, and we were in the cafeteria talking about how all our friends were starting to get into all this stuff. And we were like, I'll never do this, I'll never do that, I'll never skip school. We'll be the two that, like, graduate without smoking a cigarette. And within, like, I don't even know, it was like halfway through my freshman year, I had done all those things. I was constantly skipping class. I was never going to school. I was smoking cigarettes. I tried pretty much everything that was handed to me. And then I remember I finally got off groundation because somehow I pulled my grades up. And what? But whatever. So I got off Groundation and I went and spent the night with this girl. And she knew these guys that were going to drink. And I was like, all right, whatever, I'll, you know, let's go. And so we went, and when we had snuck out of her window. When we got back, the lights were on and her dad was walking around. And I was like, let's just not go back, you know? I was like, let's just go back there. So we went back there and we didn't come back for 2 weeks. And my parents had like pictures of my face all over town. And it was insane. And I didn't realize the damage I was causing. I was just trying to have fun and I didn't want to be told no. And I wasn't going to be grounded again. You know, I wasn't going to go through that. So I was doing what I was doing until I got caught. Finally, I got caught. They took me home. And it was like when I first got home, they were so happy to see me that I had no consequences whatsoever. It was like they hugged me. They might as well have had a cake. Like, it was crazy. But so I didn't get grounded, and I thought, whatever, I'll just do what I want from now on, you know? Anytime I got grounded, I would walk out the front door. I wouldn't even, like, go through the window. I'd wait till I went to sleep and walk out the front door and be gone till they found me. And there were a lot of things that happened, and I'm not proud of it. I hurt a lot of people, especially my parents. Like, I can't even describe it, but anyway, let's fast forward a little bit. I ended up dropping out of high school. I had gotten kicked out of school for having something on campus first. Then I dropped out, and I had to go through arbitration where they were drug testing me, and I figured out ways to get around the drug testing, and I started hanging out with these people that thought they were in a gang. And like, whatever. I just can't even see myself being like that. And I thought I was like all thug and stuff. It was kind of crazy. And I couldn't pull it off. But yeah, and I started doing that until the guy I was with got locked up in a program and a bunch of stuff happened there. And then I started hanging out with new friends and getting into new things. And it just kept spiraling down. And it got to the point where I had started making promises to myself. You know, I'm gonna stop doing this stuff. And I'm going to make myself better. I'm going to get my GED. I'm going to go to, you know, I'm going to get a job, whatever. And, like, it would last, I don't even know how long, maybe 2 weeks at most, and I'd be doing the same thing again. And my parents moved to Tampa, and they started homeschooling my brother and sister, and I was already dropped out at the point. And I got a job at, like, Wendy's, and I was doing pretty good for a little bit. Then I met a guy in my neighborhood. He was the drug dealer. I moved in with him after 2 weeks. And he didn't smoke cigarettes, but at this point I started getting violent when I was drinking. I guess because I was so angry. What? but anyway, so I smoked cigarettes, he didn't. I thought he stole my cigarettes. I was kind of blacked out. It was like in and out of blackouts. And all I remember is him pouring beer on my head, and then I was chasing him around and hitting him, and his dad was like, we lived with his dad. And his dad was like, if you hit him again, I'm going to call the cops. And I was like, all right. So I called my parents, and I told them to come get me. And I packed all my stuff, and as I was walking out, I hit him one more time. And I figured if I hit him when I was leaving, I wouldn't get in trouble. But like an hour later, the cops knocked on my door, and I spent like 2 days in jail. But I was blacked out through most of jail. And then like while I was in there, once I finally came out of the drunkenness, I just kept crying. I couldn't stop crying, and I couldn't believe that my life had ended up like that. And I guess somewhere in that period of time, my mother went back to AA because she hadn't gone to meetings. My parents like were doing the spiritual thing. They weren't really going to meetings. So I guess she started going back because of me because she didn't know what to do with me anymore. And she met this lady who was talking to a young guy about the young people's group. And her daughter came here, Kaylin. And they switched numbers, and Kaylin called my phone and left a voicemail, and I swore I deleted it, but I didn't, apparently. And when I got out of jail, I was going through my voicemails, and I heard that, and I was like, you know, let me just try it by myself a little bit first, you know. And I stayed drinking. Well, I didn't drink for, I think, 2 weeks. Then I went and met that guy who I was court-ordered not to see anymore, and I drank with him, and I was just like, I got that feeling like, you're probably gonna die if you keep doing this. And it was like overwhelming. So I called, I talked to my mom, I told her everything, like Morgan says, like, or sorry, she's not even here. But I like did my fifth step with my mother pretty much. And I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to do this. And she told me to call her, and I called her the next day. And she came and got me that day and brought me to my first meeting with the young people. I had gone to meetings when I was 15, but I didn't pay attention at all. And I drank right after. But and it was a bunch of young people. They had just gotten back from Ficky Paw. And I was so shy back then, like I couldn't even look people in the eye. I would not talk. I was always shaking. It was like I was constantly in a panic attack. And I was just so full of self-centered fear. Like, that's my biggest thing. I think that's my biggest defect, but I don't know. God will reveal more, I guess. But so I came around. I did everything they told me to do. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to smoke weed. And I had gotten a temporary sponsor, and I was smoking for about 2 weeks. I got my purse stolen somehow and was telling my sponsor the story. Okay, sorry, I'll get sober real quick. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I stopped smoking weed because she told me to change my sobriety date. And then I was here for 2 years, just about 2 years. I was doing basically what everybody told me to do. I didn't change at all. I was the same selfish, self-centered person that I had been when I walked in. And somebody told me, if you don't change your sobriety date, well, and I firmly believe that to this day, because I didn't change, and my sobriety date did. And you know, and I wasn't real big on the 12-step or 10 and 11, and today, I think that's what saves my ass. I went out, my sobriety date was, I think, June something, and I went out in March right beforehand, and I kept going in and out and in and out and in and out, and I was so, like, mad at myself and full of guilt. Like, I couldn't come around people that I had been sober with before because it just, like, tore me up. And so whatever, I went out the last time for like a month or so, and I kept making promises that I wasn't going to drink for a week. And I got this job, and like, while I was at work, the second day that I wasn't drinking, I'd be like, oh my God, I gotta drink, you know, like, it was overwhelming, and I couldn't even believe it. And I had never really understood the obsession type stuff and the shakes, and I had gotten all that this last time, and I was like, oh my God. And then I started thinking about the stuff that happened before I came in AA, and I was like, how do you not realize you're an alcoholic? You know what I mean? And it just, I needed that, I guess, that click back, because I was in my disease. I kept telling myself that I was different. Like, from the day that I came in here, I thought I was different. I wasn't as crazy as you guys were, you know, like, in my head. But come to find out, I'm sicker because I drank and you guys didn't, you know. So whatever. I've just, this past time, I went through my steps. I actually did a real ninth step amends. I just want to tell this quick story. It's amazing. My cousin and I hadn't talked for 2 years. We were supposed to do recording together, and there was this big stuff. There were things throughout my whole drinking that led up to it. But our two families weren't talking for 2 years. And I was on my ninth step with my sponsor, and I didn't know what to do because I felt like I had skimped that one before, and because I did. And I was, like, scared out of my mind about it, and I was really, really fearful about this one amends to my cousin. And she was like, just pray about it. Ask God to show you when to do it, and the opportunity will present itself. And I was like, all right. So I started praying, and not even, like, 2 days later, my cousin, her sister, apparently called my mother and said she had a six-month-old baby, which we had never met, and she was sick of it. She was like, I want you guys in the family, blah, blah, blah. I had gone to my sponsors to do, I think we were going over the 10th step because I had done all the rest, I don't know. And we were going over the 10th step. I came back, and when I got back in, my cousin, my little baby cousin Layla was there. My cousin Megan was there, and I was, like, so happy and excited. I gave my cousin Layla a hug, and I heard my cousin Judy, who's the one who I owed the amends, in my kitchen. And as soon as I saw her, I just broke down, and I started crying, and I gave her this huge hug. And I just asked God right when I was hugging her to please tell me what the heck to say, because I didn't prepare myself at all. And so we went for a walk around my neighborhood. It probably lasted about 45 minutes. I told her everything I knew, and she told me more that I didn't remember. And she made amends to me about certain things, and it was just the most amazing experience I've ever had. And I swear, after that, I felt like there was a huge weight lifted. Like, I heard that before, and I never experienced it, you know? And I really did. And now, like, when I go places, I don't feel as fearful as I used to be. Like, it's like something clicked, you know? And it's been amazing ever since. And what I try to do today is just stay in 10, 11, and 12, you know, try to do my prayer and meditation on a daily basis. I kind of slacked the past week, but I got back on it today. Thank God, because I don't know what I'd be doing right now. But, and, like, you know, the 12 step, like, I'm sponsoring girls now, and I didn't really, and I did it for selfish reasons before, like, I gotta look good, you know, which I didn't ever want to admit before, but that's how it was. Now it's because I really want people to experience what I experienced, especially with the 9th step, you know, like, it's amazing to me. And I don't want to drink again. That's another, I'm kind of selfish, because I don't want to drink again, and I know that intensive work with another alcoholic is the one thing that's going to save the day. So I'm just praying to God that I stay doing what I'm doing right now. And thanks. That's it.